In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time. Well, Father, this is indeed your word, which you have given to us, and we thank you for that. Would you please open our ears, give us an open ear to receive your word. Would you give us soft hearts to be instructed by your word? Lord, please magnify your son, Jesus Christ, this morning during our time and help us to enjoy you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we began this examination of this speech by the Son of God to the Father as a window to gain understanding in the incarnation of the Son of God in the birth of Jesus Christ. And last week, we focused on the purpose of the incarnation as we examined how the Son said, sacrifices and offerings, you have not desired but a body you have prepared for me. We learned that the Father had prepared a body for his Son, a body which he took on, a body of human flesh that he would offer as a sacrifice for sins to satisfy divine justice and to become our Savior. But before we go on to the next item of consideration, I'm sure you noticed, as we read here in Psalm chapter 40, that the words are slightly different from what we saw in Hebrews 10. In Hebrews, he talked about a body prepared for me, but here he says, but you have given me an open ear. You have given me an open ear. The writer of Hebrews is quoting indeed from this psalm, but he is quoting from the Greek translation of this Hebrew text. In the Hebrew, original Hebrew speaks of an open ear, whereas the Greek translation that the writer of Hebrews quotes from speaks of a body prepared. And while the difference is interesting, they're really speaking of one will of God and the same thing, and that is obedience to the will of God. Those are two sides of a coin. Both are required in true obedience. We must have an open ear to hear the will of God and to hear the call that we have to obedience. But obedience occurs in the body. And so we must have a body in which to be obedient. And the Son of God had both of these things, an open ear and received a body in which he was able to be obedient by giving up that body as a sacrifice for sin, and to become our Savior. There's something curious about this particular speech that the Son has. It has the appearance of a dialogue, or it suggests a dialogue between the Son of God and the Father, and yet the Son is the only one who is speaking. It's not the Father who says, I do not delight in sacrifices and offerings. It is the Son who acknowledges sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. And we might expect, in response, the Father to speak, to say, correct, my beloved Son, you are absolutely correct, and so therefore I have prepared a body for you. And yet the Son is the one who's for me. The Son did not take on this task of his own accord. God chose him for this task. He called him to the task. It was a body prepared for him. God sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. But how did the Son know? Where did his confidence come from that this was a calling that was specifically for him and authoritatively from God? The answer to that comes from the portion of this speech that we will focus on today, where he says in verse 7, Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. And so this morning, what we will focus on is this particular statement by the Son of God so that we might understand this calling given to the eternal Son of God. But then by way of application, we will hopefully gain something along the way that will help us in our particular calling as children of the living God. God has offered us tremendous blessings, blessings of salvation, eternal blessings that are ours from our Heavenly Father as adopted children of the living God. But these are blessings that we do not take on by ourselves. These are offered to us. God chose us for these things. He calls us to these things. But the question that we often struggle with is, how can I know for sure that He is calling me specifically? Can I say, as the Son said, be able to begin to approach an answer to that question? The Son. But let's begin by trying to understand this passage and digesting it in light of the incarnation. As we examine what the Son says, three things are evident in this little statement. First, there is an authoritative book. He says, in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. There's an authoritative book. In this book, there it is, an authoritative word, or perhaps you might say an authoritative story. He says, in the scroll of the book, it is written. It carries authority. And the third thing that is evident is that there is a primary character to this study, this story, a definitive person that this book speaks of. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. And so the Son reveals that the certainty of His calling is based upon the fact that it is of Him that it is written in the scroll of the book. So we ought to ask, what is this book that the Son of God is referring to? And I will tell you that I believe that He is not speaking of the Bible, at least not as we understand it, although I believe what He is speaking of is closely related to what we consider our scriptures. And I think we can say that for two reasons. One is the Son speaks of this book as though it is complete. He says, literally, He says, in the scroll of the book, it has been written of me. And while it is true that the Holy Scriptures have been, do speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of God, it is a testimony of Him, they bear witness to Him. When this psalm was written, the Scriptures were not yet complete. This psalm is attributed to King David, who wrote this psalm 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ had been born in Bethlehem, and 500 years-ish before the Old Testament was complete. Even this psalm, Psalm 40, the ink is still drying on the parchment as the Son reveals this very thing, that it has been written of Him. The Scriptures declare everything we need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of His birth, His life, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the grave, His ascension into heaven, and none of those things had occurred yet. And yet the Son speaks of this book as though it is already complete. He says, it has been written of me. The second reason why I think He's not speaking about Scripture is that He speaks with absolute and definitive clarity. It is written of me, with no question. And yet the Scriptures, and particularly the Old Testament Scriptures, are shrouded with mystery. It is an unfolding mystery, the revelation that we receive in God's Word. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies and types and shadow and the coming of our Savior, and yet in the mystery form. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ was born and conducted his earthly ministry, there it is under the shroud of mystery. He was prophesied as the one who would be born of a virgin. So there was a mystery, there was a concealing of the fact that he was the one born of a virgin. They said, is not he the son of Joseph? It was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he was indeed born of Bethlehem, but to a couple that lived in Nazareth. And so there was a concealment of this very fact. They said, he is the Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And his entire life was shrouded in mystery and concealment. He had no form or majesty that we should desire him. They wanted him to become king and establish an earthly kingdom, and yet he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And it was not until the light of the gospel through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, where he was declared the Son of God in power, did the shadows go move aside for the clarity of the gospel. Even this psalm, Psalm 40, in which the Son of God speaks to say that it is written of me, even that was not clear until the writer of Hebrews said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Son of God, coming into the world, said these things. Only with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ did these things become clear. And yet, here, the Son of God says with clarity in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. That being said, this book is authoritative of the utmost degree. Here is a book in which the very eternal Son of God understands his calling to take on human flesh. And to become it, the Son of God is not looking at reading this book as though it's a job posting site where he sees an open position for Savior of the world and decides he will apply. It's not something where he's reading it and he's trying to convince the Father that he should be the one to take on the prepared a body. I will take it. I will fulfill this mission. No, he sees it as authoritative and definitive and particular and speaking of him. He said, it is written of me. You have prepared a body for me. Friends, I believe that this book that the psalmist speaks of, that the Son of God speaks of, is the eternal decree of God. It is the decree of God, the hidden and secret decree of God, according to God's will. God has decreed all that comes to pass according to his will. And it is in accordance with his character, which is unchangeable, and his decree is written down and fixed. And it applies to everything. God is the author of creation, and he has decreed creation. God is the author of life. He has decreed life. God is the author of human history. God is the author of salvation. And these things God has decreed, and he has written down in a book. They are fixed and certain. And this is not the same thing as what we have in the Scriptures. What we have in the Scriptures is God's revealed will. We do not have the fullness of God's decreed will. Everything that we have is absolutely true and authoritative because this is what God has chosen to reveal of his decree. Think of it like this. All of us have thoughts an intention to do, we do not reveal all of those things. Some of those things we reveal We make known of those things by our words, by as we speak. Even the most talkative toddler or teenager does not reveal all of their purposes and intentions of their thoughts and hearts. And so it is with our God. Deuteronomy 29 says, "The secret things belong to our God, but the things that have been revealed are for us and for our children." God has revealed, he reveals his will in various ways, most clearly through his word, in an unfolding mystery that we now have incomplete. He also reveals part of his will through the course of time as events of history unfold according to his providence. The Son sees in this book, as he looks at this eternal plan of God, that it was written about him. Now, there's a couple of things that I think we need to understand about this particular book that give us clarity into God's dealings with us. The first is how the individual persons of the Trinity relate to this particular book. How God is one, and yet he is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each of those persons carry out or relate to this eternal decree of God in a particular way. It is the Father's will. It is his will that has been inscribed in this book. Then there is the Son, whose responsibility is to reveal that which God intends to reveal, to accomplish that particular will. And then there is the Spirit, who illuminates, brings light to that which the Son has revealed and accomplished. We can see this in a lot of different ways in Scripture. I'll just mention two of working in this way. One is with Scripture. We can look at this very passage. It is the Son who is revealing the Father's will. He is the one that is speaking. He is the one that is telling us that the Father had no desire for offerings, but that the Father had prepared a body for his Son. And yet it is the Spirit who had illuminated the heart of David to give us this particular speech of the Son of God. It was the Spirit who illuminated the writer to the Hebrews to tell us that this is the Son of God who is speaking. We can also see this dealing of the triune God in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God in the birth of Jesus Christ. It was the Father's will that his Son would take on human flesh. The Father prepared a body for his Son. The Father sent his Son into the world. It was the Son who accomplished this fact. He revealed that it was the Father's will to do this, and yet it was the Spirit who applied it. The Spirit who conceived this body in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Spirit who illuminated the hearts and the minds of the biblical authors is Jesus, the Savior of the world. And so we see the three persons of the Trinity working together in the dealings of God's decree. But perhaps the more important thing for us to understand is how the Father places his Son as the centerpiece for this book. There's two ways that we see that. First is just the emphasis of attention that the Father gives to the Son. This is the Father's will on his Son, and his eternal will. And yet, he puts the spotlight on his Son, and he gives him the microphone to declare it. He is the one that gets all the attention, who says the things that need to be said, who accomplishes the works that need to be done. Even in his earthly ministry, the Father spoke ever so briefly, only to say, "This is my beloved Son And again, this is my beloved son, listen to him. The Father draws the attention to his son. And the Spirit, who is known as the silent member of the Trinity, does not speak on his own, but his work is to illuminate, to be the spotlight on the very Son of God, to show who he is, to highlight his words and his works and his glory, and to give us faith and understanding in the Son. And so there's this emphasis of attention. But more than that, beloved, there's a centrality in the Son of God in that the Father has made his Son the focus and the center point of this book. The Son said, "It is written of me." And friends, here we are standing on holy ground. In John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." And in John chapter 5, Jesus said, "The Father loves the Son and he shows him all that he is doing." And beloved, our God has authored an eternal decree where his Son is the center and the focus and the hero. And beloved, the center point of that. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The Father said to the Son, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations." And in this covenant, the Son became our Savior. In this covenant, God chose to send his Son to take on human flesh, to be our Savior, by being a mediator between God and man, to pay the penalty for human sin by taking on human flesh in himself. And he sealed this covenant with his blood. And he accomplished this covenant in his body, the body that the Father prepared for him. And this, beloved, is the centerpiece of God's eternal decree. Friends, it is not enough for us to say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is that this book is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or even that Jesus Christ is the center, or the hero, or the savior of the story. Jesus Christ is the story. He is the message. For what did we hear? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And most marvelously, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one written in the scroll of this book. And beloved, that ought to shape everything about how we think. Because everything is contained in this decree. Everything that is because God has decreed it and has written it in this book. God is the author of creation and of the Son, it is said. By him, all things were created. Without him, nothing was created that has been created. God has been the author of life. And in this book, in the scriptures, we are told, in him was life. In the Son was life, and the life was the light of men. God is the author of salvation. Of course, we know. Scripture declares, if you believe in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is no other name under heaven by which man ought to be saved. God is the author of history. And of the Son, and it said, in the beginning was the Word. By him all things were created. And human earthly history will end when he comes again, when the very Son of God comes again in glory. And beloved, he is the center of human history as well. Because in the fullness of time, the kairos, the perfect fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Beloved, Jesus Christ is not simply part of the story. His incarnation is not a means for him to be a new character or an added value to this story. His incarnation was to reveal the story because he is the story. God is God's revealed will. What he shows us, how he speaks most clearly about this, his plans and his purposes, all that we need to know. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the center and the fullness of Scripture as well. He is, the Scriptures is a story of him. And the gospel message is his story. It is all about him. From beginning to end, every crossing of a T, every dotting of an I, every bit is about him. He's there in the Old Testament in a concealed way, in types and shadows, in ones that are difficult to see without the light of the gospel, but he is there. The explicit prophecies are about him. He is the son of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. He is the child of Abraham, through whom all the nations will be blessed. He is the prophet like Moses, to whom we must listen. He is the greater priest that was prophesied to Eli. He is the son of David, who will sit on his throne forever. He is the child who was born of a virgin. He is the child who was the ruler who was born in Bethlehem. All of the prophecies were him, but not just the prophecies, beloved. Each and every bit of the Old Testament is about him. Every person, every item, every event, every battle, every location, every law points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. He is that of Abel. He is the true Isaac, who the Father laid down as a sacrifice for sin. He is the ladder of Jacob's ladder between heaven and earth. He is the one who delivered Israel out of Egypt. He is the true Joshua, who brings his victory in his death than in life. He is the true sacrifice. He is the true temple. He is the true dwelling place. He is our true Sabbath rest. He is the one that said, before Abraham was, I am. The Old Testament, beloved, is his story. It is written of him. And of course, so is the New Testament. The Gospels, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tell his story of his earthly ministry, the forerunners, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. The book of Acts tell of his continuing work by the power of his Spirit in the work of his body, the church. The apostolic writers, the apostles, in their letters, they proclaim and explain and apply the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation gives us the great hope and the great promise that he will come again and fully complete and consummate the will of God unto our salvation. Oh, beloved, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures because you think that in the scriptures you're going to find something about eternal life. They bear witness to me. Because in is not simply our means of salvation. He is the message of salvation. He is the very word of God decreed from eternity. And he said to the Father, a body you have prepared for me in the scroll will. That's glorious. How does that help us with our calling? I think that's a question that is good for us to ponder by way of application. Because we have these things which are spoken in God's word, declared to us, and salvation is clearly told to us. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something of ourselves. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. It is God's grace. It is God's condescension. And Scripture is clear that salvation is only in Jesus Christ, and yet it's not a gift that is for everyone, that everyone will receive. We are told that we must be chosen for this gift. He chose us in him to receive this gift, and we are called in him for this. There is a calling to receive this gift, and the Apostle Paul says, those he chose, he also called. Those he called, he also justified or saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and those he justified, he also glorified. But Jesus said, many are called, many, not all, many are called, but few are chosen. And I think what we wrestle with a lot of the time, at least I know I do, is how do I know for certain that he has called me? How do I know that he is speaking particularly to me as he spoke particularly to the Son? And I think we can find the answer in what the Son had to say in this particular passage. How he said, it is spoken of me. Jesus said, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. Everything that the Son did and everything the Son said, everything that has been written in God's word, it was written in this book. Jesus Christ is the Word of God in the flesh. In everything in his life, he's revealing that will of God. Everything he spoke on God's behalf. And so the question for us in understanding our own calling is, can we hear in the Word of God, can we hear Jesus Christ speaking to us on God's behalf with his authoritative word? Let me give you some examples. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Beloved, that's not just information. That is a promise, and that is a call. The Son is saying, this is the Father's will, that this is why I'm here, to grant salvation. He's saying, believe in me. Hear this call. Whosoever believes, that's me, promise. He said it a little more specifically. Later on, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast away. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. But he says, come, come to me. Beloved, can you hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking on behalf of God to you in the midst of your weariness to come to him? He also said, I am the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd came to lay down his life for the sheep. And he said, my sheep know my voice. Beloved, do you know his voice? Can you hear the voice of the Son of God calling you to himself. If you can, he is your shepherd. And he laid down his life for you. That is a genuine, an authentic, and a personal call to you, which comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit opens your ears to hear his voice and enlightens you to this great calling that you have received. Beloved, believe that. Don't doubt in your calling. Believe in that calling that is yours and respond to it with faith. Because this is our certainty. This is our certainty that this calling is sure. Jesus said, the Son of God said, in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. In the Son came to reveal that he is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of men. And by that same word, he reveals that we are saved by him. Our task is not to try to figure out, and this is well said by someone, our task is not to figure out how to fit Jesus Christ into our story. Our task is to try to understand how our story fits, and beloved, if into the story of Jesus Christ, into the scroll of the book. And beloved, if you can hear his voice, if you can hear him calling to you, then the same can be said of us. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Because in the scriptures, what God has revealed is there it is, a book, the Lamb's book of life. And everyone whose name is written in that book has eternal life. There's a body you've prepared for me. He came in the flesh. The one of whom it was said, his name shall be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. He was raised with power from the grave to save us to eternal life. And the same word, it is written, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall never be put to shame. Beloved, our certainty is because it is written and Jesus Christ has revealed it. And God will accomplish his holy purposes. Every word of God proves true. Scripture, the word of God, will never be broken. And thanks be to God for that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for revealing the magnificent power and glory of your word and your eternal purposes. Oh Lord, help us to know how we fit into that. Please help us to hear the voice of our Savior calling us to him. Please give us an open ear and a willing heart to receive him. Please help us to glorify him with all of our being. Lord, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.